I want you to turn with me, please, in the Word of God to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and as you find your place, if you would stand together with me, please, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, as we stand together, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit to the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia," chapter 8, verse 1. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Look at chapter 9 and verse number 8. As he pleads now with the saints at Corinth, he says to them, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that meaneth seed to the sower, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Verse number 15. The Bible says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, I pray that tonight, in a very special way, that You would speak to each one of us and remind us of the privilege that is ours to have a part in what You're doing around the world. And we pray that, Lord, so willingly, so gladly, we would lay forth, as it were, on the altar, our all. And whatever we give, may we think of it as being a wonderful privilege and but a small token, a testimony of the fact that indeed our all is Yours, and what we have we've only received because of Your kindness. I pray, Lord, that You would help us, as the church at Corinth was admonished, to learn this grace also. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Apostle Paul, he gives no apology for pleading with the church at Corinth in the matter of giving. The church at Corinth was known as being a carnal church. It's interesting that it's in the second epistle to the saints that he speaks of this grace, this opportunity, this blessing, this privilege of being a channel. As though in previous days they were not ready for such truths, could not receive them, their carnality would not accept it. Is it not sad that so oftentimes we show our carnality to be so very obvious when we discuss such matters as giving? How sad it is when we think that the preacher owes some apology for speaking of this matter, when the Apostle Paul made it very personal, very precious. He said that you might prove the sincerity of your love. How's that for pressure in the matter of giving? And then he said, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." Some would say, if a preacher would resort to such tactics in this day, that it is overhanded pressure. But my friend, they need to simply read the Scriptures. When I think about the need, and when I think being in that dark land where the pagans themselves give out of their poverty, and when opportunity allows, out of their wealth, to such hideous gods, such ugly idols. I say again, as the Apostle Paul did, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. He became poor that we might be rich. How can we? How can we despise the privilege of giving when He gave so much? Not long ago in the city of Trivandrum, just a few months ago, in the city of Trivandrum in India, you can look up the story. It's quite an incredible story. They discovered in one of the temples, beneath the temple, they discovered these vaults that had been sealed for so many years. They have opened 5 of the vaults. They said what they found behind the doors was a treasure so great that it would move Indiana Jones to envy. One door they opened, a second door, a third door, a fourth door, 5 doors they've opened. I have heard different estimates of the value of the wealth. The lowest of the estimates is over $20 billion, and I've heard estimates of over $40 billion. What pagans gave, sealed away in the vaults beneath their temples, how sad it is when people who profess to be Christians, they grimace whenever giving is mentioned. There's a 6th vault that still hasn't been opened. They went to open it, but when they started to open it, they found this great iron door that had these special locks on it. And I think to myself, if they've opened 5 doors, the 5 different vaults, and there's still a 6th vault, and it has a great iron door, and there's these special locks on it, I want to know what's behind door number 6. But when I think about how pagans have given and given so gladly and sealed it away in their vaults, I say to you, we ought to rejoice that God allows us to have a part, yes, through our giving, that the world might know of our dear Savior. Please don't misunderstand me tonight. I think it's a wonderful thing when churches give, when Christians give. Perhaps they budget and they say, last year we gave this and this year we're going to do that and this is what we're going to budget. Don't misunderstand me. Thank God when anybody gives. But I believe that those who practice what's oftentimes called faith promise giving, I think they enjoy a blessing that many others miss. Because what you're saying is simply what the Bible teaches. Lord, I want to be a channel. I'm not just looking at my resources. I'm asking you, dear God, what would you be pleased to give through me? I don't know about you, but I look at my bank account and I'm not very impressed. But when I say, God, I want to be a channel, you see, the wonderful thing about such giving is this, that God literally transforms the believer and transforms the church. How oftentimes have Christians given testimony when they've allowed themselves to be channels and they've said, this is what God did and this is how God blessed. And Paul said of those churches of Macedonia, which, by the way, were themselves, they had been themselves missionary churches established in foreign lands, and now they were giving because what would have been considered by many to be the home church was in desperate straits. How wondrous that the missionary churches had learned this great truth, and now Paul pleads with the church at Corinth, and he says to him, we are but channels. That's why in verse number 8 of chapter 9, he said, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That's the inflow, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's the outflow. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. We are but channels. May I say first tonight that God designed the channel. He's the one who designed the channel. God had entrusted to Israel the mandate to reach the world. And we see in the opportunity they had, the responsibility that was theirs, that God blessed them that they might be a blessing. And over again, God reminded them that they were a channel. Even in their very land, there flows a river from the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan. that gives life to either side of its banks, and it flows, making all about it fertile until it empties itself into a stagnant pool called the Dead Sea, and it flows no more. There's no outlet. It empties and it stops flowing and it dies. You see, as long as it's a channel, there's life on either side of the banks. But when it stops flowing, there's death. My friends, when we cease to be a channel, don't ever cease to be a channel. Might we say this week, dear God, we want to be. God designed the channel. All throughout history, we're reminded of how that God blessed Israel that they might be a blessing. I think it's rather ironic that there would be those who suffer from the affliction of anti-Semitism here in America, a hatred for the Jewish people. After all, how amazing when you realize that though I don't accept the claims that Columbus himself was a Jew, simply because I don't have enough evidence to substantiate the possibility, I do know this. It was just a day before he sailed that Spain gave order that all the Jews had to leave the country. The very day before he sailed. And by the way, how amazing that he ordered all the men to be on board ship the day before they sailed, the very day the Jews were pushed forth out of the country of Spain. How amazing! How amazing to think that many of the instruments that he used and the charts he read were either invented by Jews or the charts written by the Jewish people. I don't know how many on board were Jews. I know there were at least 7. The physician was a Jew. Would it surprise you to find out that the man who cried out, "Land ahoy!" who saw the shores? Oh, Columbus tried to say later that he saw something on the horizon that might have been land. He said it was a patch of light. But the one who actually saw the land, he was a Jew. Would it surprise you to find out that the first man to step foot on shore of what they call the New World was a Jew? How ironic. We cannot miss the reminders all throughout history. God said, "I'm going to bless you, and in you shall all nations of the earth be blessed." And how much our nation has been blessed. And the greatest of blessings, of course, happened long ago when a little child laid his head to rest in a manger scene at Bethlehem. God did not do that to exclude all other nations, but to make Israel a channel. And through them, how marvelously we have been blessed. I think of the church. God established His church. And through His church, He sends forth missionaries, and by His church, the provision flows forth. His blessings are received as God's church allows herself to be the channel. I tell you, God, He designed the channel. Now let Him direct the channel. When we say, "Dear Lord, I am but a channel. Let me be a channel." And Lord, direct this channel. There are some Christians who want to be a channel, but they're flowing in the wrong direction. They enjoy the thought of God's provision. But let me ask you something. Why do we expect God to give to us what He cannot give through us? We're channels. We're channels. I'll never forget when we were in one church how that my daughter, she knew how this part of the ceremony in a child's mind, she knew how this was supposed to be done, the offering. She was sitting beside the preacher that morning, and she had forgotten to get any offering from Daddy. But she knew the offering plate was coming by, and so she was sitting beside the preacher, and so she kind of nudged him, and so he's reaching in his wallet and pulling out a dollar and putting it in her hand so she'll have a little money to put in the offering plate. Well, that wouldn't suffice because she knew proper protocol. And when the preacher said, "Well, you just go ahead and go on up, honey, and put it there in the plate because the men had already come by." And she, that's not how it's supposed to be. The offering plate is supposed to come by her. And so not only did the preacher put the money in her hand, but the preacher himself had to become usher, stepped up there, got the plate and went there. And the whole time he's just looking back at me like so. Oh, might we say, Lord, I'm a channel. You designed the channel. Now, Lord, direct this channel. But how sad it is that oftentimes when there's such great need around the world that there's a standoff between the need and God's people. When I pastored my first church in South Carolina, and I'm glad this happened to one of my dear, dear faithful. He was a godly, godly man. And it's a good thing, too. In one of the services, we let the children take up the offering. And so those young men, they made their way to the auditorium holding the plates. And when they, matter of fact, preacher's about right where you're sitting. When the young fellow, he made his way down the aisle and he got to where this dear man, I'm glad he's one of my good faithful men. This young man, he thought to himself, well, I'm taking the offering. That means they're supposed to give an offering. And so he stood right there with the offering plate. Well, he didn't know that dear brother, he was a giver and he had given in an earlier service. And I'm glad, some folks would have got upset. Well, that dear brother, he just kind of laughed and leaned over to the next fella and had to borrow some money in the service. And sometimes I thought to myself, there's a standoff in the midst of the offering. We're chosen to be channels. He designed the channel. Let him direct the channel. I remember when I first started going over to India and holding crusades over there, how that my daughters would come with a little handful of change. They had emptied their piggy banks. Just a little handful of change. And they'd come to me and put it in my hand. Just a hand, little bit of, little, just a few coins. And they'd say, Daddy, and say, we want to have a part in the crusade. Well, about a year ago or so, my youngest daughter, she said to me, she said, Daddy, she said, you know, she said, I take a violin over to India every year. She said, I want to take another violin and teach somebody to play and leave that violin with them. Well, of course, I wanted to say to her in all of my faith, do you know how much violins cost, young lady? But that was her desire. That's what she wanted to do. I was traveling. We were talking on the phone one night. She said, Daddy, she said, I went on eBay. I thought, oh, no. She said, I went on eBay, and she said, I bought a violin for $27. I thought, oh, that thing is going to be so scratched up, it's quite cracked, and the strings, if it has any at all, they're all busted. But can you imagine how excited we were when that package got in? We just wanted to get inside. We wanted to see what it looked like, and we pulled it out. It looked like it had never been played before. Of course, we wanted to find out the story then. And so they communicated with this gentleman, and they said, tell us the story. And he said, my wife, I got the violin for her. I thought that she would like it, and she didn't. The fella thought he was buying it for his wife, didn't realize he was buying it for my little girl. He said, she didn't. I thought she'd want to play. She didn't. And he said, so I put it on eBay just a few months ago. It's that long. She got her second violin to take over to India now. She had to pay a whole lot more for this one. I think it cost $40. I've never ceased to be amazed how that when you say, I'm a channel. Paul said, these churches, they gave out of their poverty. And they gave beyond them, beyond their power, he said in verse number 3. And so I tell you, God designs the channel, He directs the channel, and when you let Him direct the channel, He always deepens the channel. He said they gave beyond their power. God deepens the channel. In verse number 8 of chapter number 9, He said God is able to make all grace abound toward you. God, He deepens the channel. Whether it be in our living, in verse number 8 of that 9th chapter, he said, you may abound to every good work. When you say, Lord, I'm a channel and I want you to direct where you want me to flow, then God deepens the challenge. And there are some things we think to ourselves, well, I may never be able to. And it's amazing how that as God deepens the channel. My daughter's going over to India. And my oldest daughter, not long ago, looking in the trees, watching for the parrots and seeing this big flying creature and saying, "Daddy, what is that?" Well, it's a bat with a 4-foot wingspan. Now, the little bats give me the heebie-jeebies, but 4-foot wingspan is 5 feet too long. I think of my other daughter, my youngest daughter, in a church service, and this will keep Baptists awake. A scorpion was sneaking up on my wife, and my youngest daughter took him out with a water bottle. Sometimes we say, how can we be ready? Can we? What? It's amazing when you allow God to direct the channel and you flow in the direction that pleases Him. It's amazing how He deepens the channel in our living and in our giving. He said in that 9th verse, "He hath dispersed abroad." I pray that you would allow God to direct the channel, and that as He deepens the channel, that you will flow, may I say, far. "He hath dispersed abroad." It's amazing how that God deepens the channel. It may not be by great increase of wealth. You need to understand something. I have visited churches in India when walking into the auditorium while the offering was being taken. I was invited to the front and I looked there upon what the people had given, not as they were giving it, but as it lay there on the table. And there was a little pile of rice and there was a little pile of grain. And there was in a plate maybe a few rupee coins. The grand total would have been far less than 5 American dollars. But I'll never forget a friend of mine who said, as a young lady stood beside him, he said, "Brother, this young lady was the first one to get saved in this church that we are now planning, that we're now starting. And she has brought her gift today." She didn't understand what he was saying, didn't speak English. But he said, "Look at how she smiles. See the light in her eyes." He said, "Brother, she has nothing. But look at her. She has everything." My friend, there's depth that far surpasses what we own or what we lack. Paul said they gave out of their poverty. We're not talking about wealthy people that could impress anybody with their worldly possession. But he said they gave beyond themselves. They were channels. And God directed the channel. And God deepened the channel. I'll never forget. I share this with you in closing. I'll never forget. I was preaching in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania. And the pastor said to me, he said, "There's a lady here this morning whose husband has also come." He said, "She's been coming for some time. This is the first time he's ever been here. He's not saved." He said, "But I got to tell you her testimony." He said, "When she started coming, she pleaded with her husband. Didn't know the Lord. Pleaded with her husband. She said, 'Darling,' she said, 'I know you will not understand, but I ask you.'" She said, "As a Christian," she said, I'm supposed to tithe and I want to have a part and even give beyond if I can." And she said to him, she said, Would you please allow me to have a part in this giving?" He said, "Sure, fine, whatever you want. Just make sure it's your part of the money and can't touch mine." It was that kind of a household. Well, she started giving. And one day he came to her and he said, "I don't understand this,
And he said, don't want to hear the explanation. He said, but things have been going so well, better than they've ever gone that I remember. He said, would you start tithing off my part of the income too? He actually started tithing before he ever started coming to church, before he ever knew the Lord. And so the preacher told me, he said, I just wanted you to know that story. I preached that morning and I gave the invitation. That man was standing there in the back and he was holding a child in his arms. And I wanted to say, mister, just put the child down so you can come forward. And he did better than that. He came forward and carried the child with him. And he got saved.
Amen.
Sometime after he got saved. Of course, the child was a little young still, didn't understand. But sometime after, I was back in that church again. And the very child he had carried in his arms as he came forward, I was in the service when that child got baptized after having received. What happened? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. There was a dear woman who said, Lord, I'm a channel. And God directed the channel. And He deepened the channel. And her husband got caught up in the overflow. I'm just saying tonight, It matters not how much you own or where your status is in this present economy. And whether we're talking about giving or we're talking about your living, we are channels. But is it ever more evident than in a missions conference when God's people say again, Lord, you designed the channel. Would you direct the channel? And as the years go by, we stand amazed and rejoice together as God deepens the channel. So would you just say again this week, would you just say, Lord, I'm your channel. I want to be a channel. Would you bow your head with me in prayer? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I just leave with you this thought. We speak about faith promise giving. May I say to you, it's just a matter of saying, Lord, I'm your channel. I would have no doubt that all of us, we have a part, and I'd have no doubt that you give. But this is a matter more than just saying, well, I'll give so much or I'll... It's saying, Lord, I'm your channel. What will you give through me? What will you give through me, Lord? In just a couple days, you'll be filling out faith promise cards. And it's just a matter of saying, Lord, what will you give through me? But I hope that during these days, as we're reminded of this truth, and you know, you who have been with us these last couple of nights, this is the most direct I've been about the matter of giving, and I don't apologize for it. It's far more direct tonight than I'll be tomorrow in the remaining services. But we need to consider and be reminded. We're chosen to be channels. Tonight in your heart, would you simply pray and say, Lord, I'm your channel. I want to be a channel. Make me a channel of blessing. Direct this channel. And Lord, please deepen this channel, I pray. Preacher.
Amen. Prayerfully, folks are praying. as he said, tomorrow.